Of the individual speakers and callers, and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby. Teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. And with that, it's only, 37 below today, so the weatherman lied to us. So I put out a hit on the weatherman because, what the heck, we've been through many, many days of this. So anyway, but calling in from Juneau, Alaska, David Styron, how you doing, sir?
Did you say 37 below?
I said 37 below.
What, did you take a tauntaun to the office and now it's dead in the park? 37 below.
Yes. It might have warmed up to 30 below, but...
Oh, a balmy 30 below. That's Crocs and Kirkland shorts when you make your Costco run this weekend, David.
I know. So, you're down there in Juneau.
Yes.
So what's worse, minus 37 below or rain that goes sideways?
I would actually take your minus 37 below, and it's not the weather that would make me rather be in Fairbanks. My regular pilgrimages to Tommy G's and the fine people in the interior are far preferable to the Moss Eisley spaceport of the state of Alaska, where it's a wretched hive of scum and villainy down here.
Oh, man.
You like the line? You can use it. Let's deal with George Lucas. Nobody remembers it from the 70s. It's just you and me.
There you go. So you're with Ada. What's your position? What's your position with Ada?
So I am Ada's development and communications guy. We're technically a small business. We have like 22, 23 people in the entire office. And so everybody there wears a multitude of hats. So I assist with the communications, and I'm also the person that if you have a project, I'm one of the people that you would meet with to kind of walk through a potential project that we may deal with. And a little bit of a higher up overview, the Alaska Industrial and Development Association or Authority, actually it's the Authority, was created in late 60s, early 70s to invest exclusively in jobs and economic development within the state of Alaska. We have our own board of directors. I think you probably played slug bug with a guy that used to be on our board for a number of years on any family road trip.
I never won those slug bug things with my brother Dana. He was four years older than me, and he cheated.
I think he probably went hard into the paint before you could even see over the window.
That's right.
My salary does not come from the budget from the legislature. We pay a dividend to the state of Alaska. Our investments, if they win money, increase the size of the dividend. Our investments, if they go sideways, do not cost the Alaska economy or the Alaska General Fund any money. So I think that's a pretty good summary. We remain one of the most widely misunderstood corporations within the state, which is why I'm so appreciative of you giving me some of your quality time today.
Yeah, you know, it. With all that, though, with all that, one of our interior elected legislators wants to create chaos in what is set up as a good corporation. Now, Ashley Carrick, Representative Ashley Carrick, District 35, she did HB 124, which is the ADA Accountability Act. And talk about putting a bureaucratic malaise, if not stop, everything you do what this act would enact is is on the side of absurd. Now, one of my issues is Representative Kerik has no economic common sense in the world. I mean, she just doesn't. Yet she comes out with this bill. At the same time she comes out with the bill, ADA sends the state of Alaska a $17 million check for earnings. You get ADA gets a rated upgrade by Moody's, you know, investment upgrade to a double A rating, better than the state of Alaska. And I just shake my head, and she's coming out with this act because, anyway, go ahead.
Well, so what the bill really is a soft effort to end ADA's financial ability to fund projects within the state.
Resource development. That's right.
You can't put that in the bill title, an act to kill ADA, because, I mean, in essence, that's what it does.
Yeah.
And I spoke with some folks in the mining community a couple weeks ago, and you've talked about it on the show. There is an effort by NGOs and anti-development groups across this country. I mean, it's one thing to show up at the site of a proposed mine or the site of a proposed road and dress somebody up like a polar bear and wave signs and protest, but the real battle is to kill the financing of these projects.
Yeah.
That's where the real war is. Doesn't make headlines. It's not going to be a deep introspective on Fox, on the Five on Fox, because it's not sexy. People waving signs and looking ridiculous, that gets the cameras. That's where the eyes are drawn to. But the quiet attack on financing of resource development projects in Alaska and, frankly, in multiple parts across the country, that's where the real battle is occurring right now. And I think 124, I mean, I don't know. I would suspect the framework was written by an NGO in a very boilerplate manner. And then...
She doesn't have the economic intelligence to put this together. My personal thought.
Well, I would say flying Microsoft Flight Simulator 95 for 100 hours doesn't teach you how to land the 737 on runway 24 left out at the Fairbanks International.
You may
think you know, but you don't know.
This is some of the things that this project, House Bill does. For any ADA project over $10 million, this is what it requires: a full economic impact analysis, a full social impact analysis, an environmental impact analysis, submission of all documentation to the legislature, explicit legislative approval passed into law. Oh, I mean, that's just where we're starting. So now, when you start looking at the economic impact analysis or the social impact analysis, no matter what that is, that's where the suit will immediately happen, because they will, you know, the people who don't want resource development in the state of Alaska will say, you did not consider this, you did not consider this, that they do with, say, EPA regulations, DA 404, Army Corps of Engineer permits, things like that. They're trying to set it up for you can't get this approved. And then explicit legislative approval be passed into law. So how often does the legislature, they get 700 bills a year, you know, every 2 years, and they pass maybe 50?
Well, you know, if our major project, David, is behind the official naming of the big-ass cabbage as the official vegetable of the state of Alaska, I mean, hey, I don't know about you, but I am chomping at the bit to get that bill put to bed, where our long statewide nightmare is over, so we can get back to the business of business. But you're absolutely right. Just have the courage to say an act to end the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority.
Yeah.
That's the bill.
And you know, you brought up the cabbage. They can't even get the state dinosaur right, you know, agreed to. But Dave, we're gonna take a commercial break. Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. You want to call in? We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
When it's time to be warm, wrap yourself in the Alaskan Solution. Wear fur from the Fur Factory. Shop the Fur Factory for naturally warm, naturally beautiful furs that are as practical today as ever before. Experience the luxury of fur coats, mukluks, mittens, and hats. See Alaskan beaded slippers and gloves crafted by local artisans as well. The Fur Factory's family furriers craft heirloom quality garments that you'll treasure for a lifetime. Ethically harvested, visit the Fur Factory, 547 2nd Avenue, Fairbanks.
Is your car feeling more tired than Monday morning without coffee? It might be time for an oil change. Don't let your car hit snooze on maintenance. Bring it to us, where we'll give it the wake-up call it deserves. Our oil changes start as low as $49, and that's for the good stuff. We're talking synthetic. And every oil change comes with a free safety inspection, plus we can check your filters and top off your fluids while we're at it. At a price that will leave you with plenty of pizza money, that's Glacier Garage at the end of South Cushman, just behind GCR Tire. Open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at glaciergarage.com.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Today, with a chance of snow. High temperatures reach up to 6 below. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely. Tonight, lows dip down to about 9 below. Cloudy skies expected. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio and David Styron down in Juneau, Alaska. What brought you down there?
Oh, I'm here for the Southeast Conference, which is the name of the business association that, I mean, it's like the Southeast part of the state's chamber. I mean, each community has their own chamber of commerce, but this is sort of like a regional trade association. They come down here every year, or actually they fly up, because Juneau, I think, is the furthest point north for most of the communities. They meet with legislators. I get to sit on a riveting panel on defined benefit versus defined contribution a little bit later on today to watch that. You know, David, and you, of course, in your multiple lives, understand that government is perpetually hungry, and usually smart government is, what can we do at the community or regional level to make sure government gets fed? And you can argue about how much government should be fed. Should it be fat? Should it be skinny? Should it be wiry? But in Juneau, government is starving while legislators debate bills that do not put more Alaskans to work and put more money into circulation. That is Juneau in a nutshell, from the headlines that I've observed thus far.
You know, our founding fathers had a precept, and the precept was, if you're going to do anything, we have to make doing anything government hard, because we're afraid of too much power in the hands of too few people doing too stupid things. And this bill, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, to tell you the truth. But, you know, we have in the state of Alaska, we have a strong governor, which is, you know, the governor is the CEO, the executive officer of the state of the state of Alaska state government. And the governor, he appoints, except for maybe the bringing judges on. He has a group that gives him the judges that he can appoint from, or the people who draw the election districts. You know, that governor gets two choices, Supreme Court gets a choice, gets one, Speaker of the House gets one, President of the Senate gets one. After that, the governor fills all positions just about. There is some legislative confirmation on these positions. Ada has positions that are guaranteed. You know, the head of the DNR, I think, is on there. You'll know this. The head of the commissioner of revenue is on there. people who look at our economics and understand our economics. Ashley wants to put legislators on there and have the people confirmed by the legislature. Oh, you know, I've been confirmed by the legislature. The legislature confirms some and does not confirm others. I'm on Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Board. Was not confirmed. It's not a confirmable board. It's just by the power of the governor. And I believe Ada is probably the same way. Well, who knows? Ada, is, you know, with everyone you got on there, is that a confirmed board or through the legislature or not?
No, it's by, you're right, there are automatic slots,
yeah.
By commissioner position. There are appointed positions then by the executive branch, which, by the way, has been consistent since our creation in the late 60s. So you have had Republican and Democrat governors appoint members to the board consistently for decades. And you can argue about the philosophical direction of ADA. Should they have invested in this? That seems like a bad idea. That seems like a good idea. I mean, all of those are perfectly pragmatic public policy discussions. But what House Bill 124 does is fundamentally change the game and strip that power from the executive branch and make it a homecoming committee of 60 individuals who are going to decide the economic direction of the state of Alaska. Now, I was on yearbook my senior year in high school, and thank God there were only five of us, because you look at the prom planning committee, there were a dozen, just a dozen, in a school of 120 in northeast Nebraska. I'd have lost my mind trying to plan something with 12, and to get something off the schneid with 60, well just admit you're not going to do it. To me, House Bill 124 should just admit that the sponsor, and I don't know if I agree with you, I don't know if it's got any teeth. I mean, it's a tough sell when you have a big budget deficit that you're going to support a bill that curtails economic development within the state. But we're Alaska. We do things weirder than anybody else will see. The idea of having to have a project that a majority of 60 approves of, just on its merits, you wouldn't do anything that way.
Yeah. And, you know, let's look at some, like, energy infrastructure. You know, Fairbanks was the recipient of the Interior Energy Bill. They, you know, the ADA bought the Fairbanks Natural Gas and all three business entities of it, operated it, bundled it, sold it to IGU, and anything over $10 million, they have a requirement of going back for all that, full economic impact analysis, social impact analysis, environmental impact analysis. It would never have gotten done, ever.
Well, what's even more frustrating, David, and you know this, is many of those things we're required to do anyway.
Right? Yeah.
You got to get a permit. You've got to have, you take public testimony, you have hearing sessions, you have shaping
committees. Go to the RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, for approval. Yeah.
Yep. You got to do all of that. What this bill would require is that whole process starts all over again on a completely different lane.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't accept our studies. They wouldn't accept our due diligence. The bill wouldn't allow our listening sessions, et cetera, et cetera. They would say, okay, now we're going to start. So before you even get to convincing a majority of 60, it's a go, no-go proposition. Your years, budget cycles, administrative changes, election changes, it's just untenable. And that's before you go into the nerdy Excel spreadsheet discussion of it killing our AA-plus bond rating, the best in the state, like you mentioned earlier.
You're looking at a major investment in Bethel, Alaska. Healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
This would shut it down.
Yes.
You're looking at port facilities in both the Port of Anchorage, Port of Alaska, and then the Mat-Su. You'd have a territorial fight unbelievable instead of this doing the right thing, what makes economic sense, and getting a port either built or maintained so we could have shipping coming into the state of Alaska. Ponder that.
Phase two of IGU. And I was there. The folks at IGU had an event a couple weeks ago. I was there for that. And you had, by the way, the support of IGU is bipartisan in nature. You have folks from all different political persuasions go, this is great for the interior. This is the first step of quality of life and energy affordability improvement. Ada would love to have a role in phase two and expansion of the gasification of the interior. This, like you said, it balkanizes our investment structure. And I guarantee you, people at Southeast, if they're looking at expanding IGU or expanding AMHS and politicizing and balkanizing ADA, they would curtail that just because 60 people have to serve their own best political interest.
And they're going to want something for their vote for it.
Oh, if you don't think that happens, for the next life of this show, David Prues will take you through time and time again how balkanized power has created fiefdoms and baronies across the state of Alaska.
Very true. Very true. My goodness. And just the resource development alone, we're a resource state. What resource development costs less than, you know, from beginning, costs less than $10 million? Very few. Yeah. I mean, you're laughing on the air and I'm laughing with you. The absurdity of that question I just asked you is what's so funny.
If the state wanted to pave 4 miles of new road, pick an area in your own backyard, just 4 miles of new road, could you do it for $10 million and could you do it in 2 years? No and hell no.
Yeah, you know, and what's next? Any DOT project? $10 million or more?
Well, we have seen through the budget process, you especially, time and time again, what starts as a proposal goes through the committee process and it's gone. It's gone. It's like my hidden stash of Oreos when my kids stay over for a night or two. They're gone.
Yeah,
I hid the bleeping things, and they're gone.
I know it's a good way to stop resource development in the state of Alaska by putting the bureaucratic machine involved in approving anything you do, and they, you know, right now they're fighting over 121-day session and 90-day session, and they don't get enough stuff done during the session because of the politicalization of everything and what gets left off because they didn't have time to do it. And so you want them to have 60 people, like you said, agree on these major projects. It's not going to happen. Dave, we're going to take a commercial break, okay?
Yes,
and
sir.
Fairbanks, we're going to have some bumper music, some Hall & Oates. I liked somewhat of Hall & Oates. I don't know what this is, but we'll see. Then we're going to have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at
KFARradio.com. We're getting a look at a new doorbell video camera recovered by the FBI and posted. It shows someone briefly turning away from a doorway, ripping plants from the ground outside the home of Nancy Guthrie, and then apparently attempting to cover a Nest camera with those plantings. FBI Director Kash Patel on X writes, in part, over the last 8 days, the FBI and Pima County Sheriff's Department have been working closely with private sector partners to continue to recover any images or video footage from Nancy Guthrie's home that may have been lost, corrupted, or inaccessible. Well, including the removal of recording devices, this video was recovered from residual data located in back-end systems. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says President Trump has seen the video.
The president encourages any American across the country with any knowledge of the suspect to please call the FBI, who continue to assist state and local authorities who are leading this investigation on the ground.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The number of out-of-state workers in Alaska is continuing to rise and is near an all-time high, according to a new report published this week by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. James Brooks with the Alaska Beacon reports in 2024, almost 23% of non-federal jobs in Alaska were held by someone who did not live in the state. Non-residents earned roughly $3.8 billion, or about 17% of every dollar earned from a non-federal job. In some industries, the proportion of non-resident workers was much higher. In 2024, more than 4 in 5 seafood processing workers were non-residents. Among oil and gas workers, 40% were non-residents. Among miners, non-residents made up just over 44% of all workers, and non-residents averaged higher wages than residents did. The state has been collecting non-resident worker data since 1990, and the new figures are the second highest on record, behind only 1992. That year, 23.7% of Alaska workers were non-residents.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Well, it's dark, it's cold, but hey, at least we don't have to worry about a sunburn. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. This time of year absolutely wreaks havoc on our cars. Hard starts, no starts, is my winterization working? Heaters that aren't heating? How old is my battery? Brakes that are stiffer than a New Year's cocktail? Suspension that feels every single bump in the road? And life doesn't stop. You still have to get to work, drop off the kids, pick up the kids, do the shopping. And when you call your usual shop with a problem, they'll tell you they can get you in sometime this summer? Maybe it's time for a New Year's resolution. Stop waiting in line and call Fairbanks Nissan. Yes, we sell Nissans, but we work on all makes and models, even yours. In fact, we probably do more work on other brands than we do on Nissans. And we work with almost all extended warranty companies. So you can call us even if you got your warranty somewhere else. When you need help in a hurry, not months from now, call Fairbanks Nissan. Schedule your service online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com. Fairbanks Nissan. Here when winter doesn't wait.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Cyberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at WhiteSpruceMedical.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio. David Styron calling in from Juneau, Alaska, where he's just having a wonderful time.
You know, raindrops keep falling on my head, David.
This storm will pass too, sir.
I should point out, by the way, I do not live in Juneau. I live in the insanely difficult to keep living there city of Anchorage. So it's not like I'm making a huge paradigm shift.
So it's basically you believe in pain and suffering.
Oh, you know, you never skip arm day, David. You never do. As much as it hurts the shoulders, you got to keep going with arm day.
That's true. That's true. You know, it's interesting. Let's, you know, I look at the Ambler Road project, and it looks like, you know, every month or three, it's more and more busting loose, more and more coming to fruition after 20 years. And this HB 134, when it's all set to go, you'd have to bring it all back to the legislature for their approval. And do you think that's going to happen? Oh, no, not at all.
So I know that Ambler, it's one of these, like I call it the shop, it's an oxygen project, right? The moment you say the Ambler Road, all the oxygen just gets sucked right out of the room, and it's the mouth-breathing project that is hyperventilating. And I get people have concerns. I get people support it. People oppose it. I understand all of that. But I also, like you and listeners of Problem Corner, pay enough attention to know that sooner or later, Alaska's got to do something. What is it you'd like us to do? We haven't really done. You could probably argue the Man Show Mine is the last thing we've done, but that is great for the interior and great for the folks in the region. What's the last big, large-scale state of Alaska thing we've done, probably since TAPS, right?
Yeah.
Something that has paid
benefits. The Red Dog. The Red Dog Mine. Ada's Red Dog Mine project, yeah.
Yep, that's probably one and 1A. So we're due, right?
Yeah.
I mean, only strident Cubs fans will wait 100 and some odd years for us to win a World Series in 2016. Most people after 40, if she's not returning your call to go to homecoming after 40 years, she's probably not going to call you. And if you're not going to do something in the largest state in the union, and it spans administrations, you have to actually do something.
True.
And yes, and I've heard legislators say, you know, projects are controversial. Anchorage or Ada has controversial projects. And I would challenge, also an interior legislator that posted that on social media, I would challenge the good senator, have you ever made a controversial vote that you thought was for the benefit of your constituents?
No, Scott Kawasaki has not.
I didn't say names. Oh, by the way, all names said by the host of this program.
That's right.
A disclaimer when you kick off the show, by the way.
I know
I'm a little curious what you've said that warrants a disclaimer like that. That is titanium.
It's,
you got to do something, folks. And if you don't like Ambler, okay. All right. Well, what do you want to do? Just fill up the lines. Call now. We hate Ambler.
Yep.
David and Dave, we hate Ambler. Well, great, great. Love it. I've heard it. I've seen the social media posts. We don't like Donald. Like, great, great. Whatever. But what do you want to do? Because nothing is the 40-year record currently. And I'd take doing something over 40 years of doing bubkis.
True. Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy. How are you doing?
Good. I'd like to say that I am very much opposed to HB 124, which was put in by Representative Ashley Carrick of Fairbanks, and I think it's designed to kneecap ADIA and resource development in Alaska, and I very much appreciate ADIA and what they did with ANWR when all the other corporations were afraid to
step into it. They went out and bought the leases.
Yeah, that was a wonderful move and saved Alaska. And I must say that I was heartened when I read the Fairbanks Daily News Miner from February 8th, and it said that a non-binding memorandum of understanding was signed by the Nana and Doyon regarding the Ambler Road with ADIA, with some other signatories there. And even though that's just a non-binding thing, it showed that the glimmer of light is showing through, and hopefully the left-wingers and the anti-development people will not prevail.
I concur with everything you just said.
David, you got to rack that call. Randy is a P1 listener. He's a gold standard caller. If any of the callers on hold aren't as good as Randy, we'll just blow right past.
He's our only caller.
You know what?
But, we have the best at the beginning.
There you go. There you go. It's like me at Thanksgiving. I pay attention at 9 a.m. By 2 o'clock, I'm asleep.
There you go. Randy, thank you for the phone call, buddy. You have a great day.
Bye.
Yeah, I look at the Ambler, and, some people are looking at Glen Farm, the gas line, and great, we'll see if it happens. But the Ambler Road is the type of road development. I mean, when was the last time we put in a road in Alaska? And where it goes and what it is accessible to and all of the different resources and minerals and what the longevity of that means to the interior, if not the state of Alaska. It would be unprecedented in my estimation.
And think of the national consequences of developing in the Ambler Mining District. I like the Ambler Road. I'd love to see mining and responsible resource development across the state. What I really want is a smelter in Alaska, because that means we mine the minerals in the state. We process the minerals in the state, and we refine and smelt them in the state. And we don't have to send Alaska and America's minerals anywhere and hope that the barge brings them back. I mean, that's just a Dave who is damp in Juneau hope. But you got to show you're willing to do the first few steps, right? Everybody loves baby's first steps. Oh, my God, baby's first words, baby's first steps. We got to have the first steps to do something,
true,
in my opinion.
Here's another phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, my name's Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey, I've been following the Amble Road for a very long time myself, but when I read the article, what popped in my mind is what did we give up for, you know, a compromise or a potential compromise? And I believe that is, you know, no access for other Alaskans off that road,
mm-hmm,
to the wild resources that are out there. And I believe it'll only benefit those that they consider rural out there.
Okay.
And so that's what has my
goat
red flags hanging up in the air going, you know, what are we going to give up? Are we going to do another Pogo Road where no other Alaskans are allowed to access it to wild resources?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an industrial road, so it doesn't have to go through the engineering that a borough or a state road would go through.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
That's why.
So and they're designing this as that.
Right.
So
again,
if I could just answer Al quick, and Al, that's a great point. I've heard that point a lot, and I don't know how long you've been listening to David and I wax nostalgic about how things should be. But if it was a public access and not an industrial road, the road would be built at the mercy of Juneau, because that would be a DOT appropriated line item. And we can argue about some of the concerns that a private financed road and the mining industry is going to pay for the road like they did at Red Dog. But if the choice is the derivative benefit of development versus hoping someday DOT has the money available to put the road in the first place, I think we can, while may not agree on all the fine points, we can agree that one may get the road built, the other method will never get the road built.
Yeah, I understand that. You can have an industrial road and still have access to it. In fact, it would...
Well, that's for the owners to decide.
It would improve the management of wildlife resources by having people be able to control populations of species out there, which is constitutional.
Well, you know, it's paid in by the user's road. It's basically a private road.
Well, up until right. It's paid for, they're borrowing the money from the corporation, like you said,
mm-hmm,
until it's paid for. Mm-hmm. And the other clear example is the Pogo Road. I mean, they're gated several miles in from where their mine actually is, and it's like no access.
Well, I can't speak to the Pogo Road, Al, but I most certainly can speak to the road that Tech financed, or it may have been a different mining company at the time, financed through ADA for Red Dog. And that road has been exceedingly successful. It's a toll road. We get paid. We take that money and roll that into part of our dividend we paid the state of Alaska. And the communities out there have limited, and some have zero access to that road. And it just works. I understand what you're saying about game management. I understand what you're saying about all of that. But ultimately, if you're paying for a thing, and the participants who would finance the mine would pay for the thing, yeah, we take the note out, they pay us back. Every bank is the same way. Could they negotiate with folks in the region and statewide of greater access? They could. That frankly isn't part of our purview. Our purview is to get a deal in place and start the road being built. And I think if we look at this point and say, well, I don't want the road built because I don't have X, Y, or Z today, not knowing what it could look like 6 to 7 years from now, I think you're going to have 60 years of not building anything, in my opinion. But great points, Al.
That's a point well taken, and I rely on history as far as what you're saying, too. And we built the road to Tanana And so it can be done.
Yeah. Al, I have to take a break, buddy. You have a good day. And Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. I'll be back here in a few minutes with Mr. Styron, and we'll talk more about Ada and other things that they do. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Price RV. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Sound. It's all around us, whether the laughter of children, the sounds of your favorite wildlife, or the rhythm of your favorite song. Sound brings our world to life. The Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center wants to remind you that their certified doctors of audiology are here to help hear those sounds. And whether it's a medical condition that requires treatment or a simple fitting of a hearing device, Dr. Jackson and her certified and licensed staff will help you hear more. Come into the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center for testing to hear what you've been missing. For more, visit fairbankshearing.com.
Smart business owners all over Fairbanks have figured out the amazing savings they can receive from going with solar power from Gen Solar. And with those 30% credits ending this June, now's the time to get on Gen Solar's schedule as they're filling up fast for summer installations. Whether your business is using that solar power or feeding it back to the grid, you will save big. Stop by their showroom on College Road or online at gensolar.net. Powering your future with reliability and sustainability. That's Gen Solar.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for snow this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime highs approaching 6 below. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 9 below. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have David Styron calling in from Juneau, Alaska, with the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. You know, we're going to take another phone call here real fast, David, if that's okay with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, my name's Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I just want to agree and echo with what Al just said when he called in. That road does not need to be a private road. It's going to go across public property, and there's no reason why the public should be denied access to it. And it doesn't have to be unlimited access. I realize that could be a problem. But there could easily be a permit system set up to allow a reasonable number of recreational users onto that road without in any way interfering with the legitimate industrial uses of it.
You know, and much like I said to Al, The holdup of who gets to use the road are valid conversations and discussions to have. The problem that we have in this state for the past 40 plus years is we have allowed similar type of conversations to stop building stuff.
Exactly.
And I would argue that who gets on the road, those are great conversations for folks to have.
But build the road.
We're interested in
build the road.
And then, hey, guess what? We can argue about what color paint we should put in the pool room. We can do all of these great things, but honestly, if the 40-year record of the state of Alaska is, well, I don't like it, so let's not. You might as well do it another 40 years of not building anything. And then when there's 7 people left in the state, and those 7 people may be happy as hell, I have no idea. But your kids aren't going to stay here. Your grandkids aren't going to stay here. And what is the point of being a sovereign state in the Union if you, every step of the way, you have all of this resource, wealth, and you've decided nope is your game plan.
Paul, I'd have to ask you the question. You're probably not in favor of this road then, are you?
Oh, no, that's incorrect. I'm absolutely in favor of it.
Okay.
But there is no reason why it couldn't be built. See, your guest is assuming it's an either-or proposition, and it's not. It's not.
Well,
and the best example, David, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul. Sorry.
The best example is the Pogo Mine Road. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that road would not have been built if it was going to be open to the public? There's no doubt in anybody's mind that road was going to be built, and it could have been open to the public. And look at what the recreational opportunities that would have opened up by giving access to the upper Good Pasture River. Right now, for the last 40 years, the Gulkana River has been...
Hit hard. Yeah.
And the quality of the experience has suffered greatly. This would open up a whole new recreational canoeing, rafting opportunity comparable to the Gulkana River. That road would have been built.
I look at it this way. I compare it, maybe unjustly so, to the Hall Road. When they built that, there was no people going up there. They weren't allowed.
Right.
And then over time, they opened it up. They saw what could be done and what could not be done. And so my thought is over time, I have a feeling, you know, be it 10, 15 years, over time, things like what you said will be factored into it and brought in. You know, I've been hearing this debate for 20 years, and yeah, on one side you have absolutely no, we don't want anything here. It's going to screw up the caribou migration, yada, yada, yada. And then we have on the other side, hold it, this is state property. It's, you know, our Constitution demands it available, you know, resource access for all residents of the state of Alaska. And so there's this big quagmire in between. And as David's saying, you know, let's build a road. And, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with what may be the outcome of its public uses. But the resource development is justification to do it. And then we can figure out good managed public uses when the road is in place.
Well,
that's my thought.
Well, and that's a nice thought, David. But yeah, realistically, if that road gets built and it's paid for by the mining industry, which is a big question in my mind, but assuming that it is never, not in your lifetime or my lifetime or my kids' lifetime, going to be open to the public.
I want to know who the caller has in next year's Super Bowl than the next five Super Bowls. Because,
well,
that crystal ball.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to take another phone call. Paul, we're going to take another phone call. Thank you very much for the phone call. Really appreciate it, sir. You have a great afternoon. Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning, Davis Alligan. I just didn't want the people to be misled on the Hall Road. The reason that was open to the public, the Pass Dietrich camp, was because the state of Alaska ended up using federal highway monies to maintain and work that road. So using those public monies, was the reason it was open for all public use.
Okay.
Yeah. Good show, though. I'm listening.
You know, Al, I think the world of you, but guess why you always piss me off?
Oh, that's nice.
No. Guess why you piss me off?
Because I didn't get your kimchi yet.
That's right. That is right. Now do what you're supposed to do. Okay, buddy. You have a good day.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Good show. Good conversation, Dave. No matter how you look at it.
You know what? I think what I love is people are talking about it. I'm not a fan of until I get everything I want, we're not going to do the thing. I just fundamentally, as an American, disagree with that. But I think these conversations will continue. I just go back to, are you ready to go another 40 years without doing anything?
Yeah. And again, it's been 40 years, two generations. And that road opens up so many things in so many ways. It really does. You know, think of the rural jobs that it opens up. Man.
the public safety opportunities. There are people who would love to teach in rural Alaska. The idea of getting in a 185 to go to their community is a non-starter.
Yeah.
A road? Yeah.
I can do that.
I could drive out to the school, and if I need to do a supply run on a 5-6 hour drive to Fairbanks, boom, I'm there. I can listen to podcasts of Problem Corner with David and Dave.
There you go. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
This has all been very interesting, but, you know, I am all for the road. I don't know how long. He just said, not in my lifetime, your lifetime, or our kids' lifetimes will that thing ever be open to the public. Okay. But then the other guy says the Tannenbaum Road. And you guys are all acting like it's been, you know, 40 years or whatever since the road was built. Now, the Tannenbaum Road is a misnomer because I drove that road after, you know, first they were trying to cut it off from people. I don't remember. Somebody must have driven me down it, but I can remember it. And then you get to the river, and it doesn't go to Tannenbaum. And when it goes to the river, they got their boats, and then they got to go however far they got to get to Tannenbaum. But you're not allowed to park there or camp there or do anything around that road. And so the state did build a road. And how long will it take for the mine to pay back the money for this other road, like you keep saying they're going to do?
Well, it's more like if you look at the Red Dog Mine Road, that road's never paid off. They pay a percentage rate lease, and so it's an investment that pays off for its
David. That road is paid off.
Yeah,
we're just it's cash money.
Exactly, you're always getting money on it. Yeah, it's okay. But the payments never stop.
What is the deal with the Tannenbaum Road that doesn't go to Tannenbaum?
I have no idea.
Well, he should know.
Who should know?
The guest, whatever your name is.
He's with ADA. He's not with State of Alaska DOT.
Okay, so, you know, that's another ridiculous thing, and it shouldn't be called the Tannenbaum Road because it doesn't go to Tannenbaum.
You know, now quit making so much sense, okay?
I don't think.
Anyway, we have to close up shop here. I appreciate the phone call. And David, we'll get you on here again, buddy, because we're getting a lot of good phone calls.
Not just recreational, mining.
Okay.
That land, people should be able to go stake claims and mine it.
Yeah.
You know, not just for the single mine. That's why. Everybody.
Okay, I've got to go. Goodbye. You have a good afternoon. And David, greatly appreciate the phone call and the conversation.
Anytime, my friend, anytime. It went by too quick. You got an hour to kill. You shoot me a text. Anytime, it's a pleasure to hang out with you on the air.
You got it, buddy. You have a great day. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
And Fairbanks, that is our show. A good show. And tomorrow we're going to have Nick Nugent. He's going to be talking about a very specific individual, very historical person in our history, and looking forward to that. I got to find out if I'm on the air on Monday or not. Huh, what the heck? Anyway, you have a great afternoon, and I will see you tomorrow.